and is available at 365-8000 or on their website, hendrickhouse.com.
It's 6:30, and meteorologist Ed Kieser says it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 84 today. He'll be along with details on the weather in 5 minutes following AM 580 News. Here's Jeff Bossert.
Thanks, Jay. Good morning. The imminent retirement of Illinois Senate President Emil Jones is turning speculation about a successor and about the future of legislation. Democratic State Senator Mike Frericks of Champaign says he was not surprised by the news after hearing speculation that Jones would retire. But he says he was surprised that it happened this soon and before an election. Frerich says he has no preference of a successor, but he has a list of conditions for his vote.
I'm interested in hearing from potential candidates and see who understands downstate issues, which candidates have the greatest support for higher education, and which of the candidates are interested in returning power to individual members.
Jones has carried on a recent tradition among Senate presidents of keeping a tight rein on legislation. University of Illinois political science professor Rick Winkle was a Republican state senator during Jones' tenure. He says with 30 votes needed for the next Senate president, it's a rare opportunity for even first-time lawmakers like Frericks insist on more independence.
This is a real chance for regular members of the Senate Democrat caucus to assert themselves and to become more of the process and part of the decision-making.
But Winkle says a prolonged fight over the next leadership might even make possible the need for votes from some Republican senators. The list of potential contenders to replace Jones is starting to come together among Senate Democrats on that list. James Claiborne, a black Belleville resident who may be able to win support from both downstate Democrats and African Americans. John Cullerton, who has served Chicago's north side since 1979 with potentially closer ties to House Speaker Michael Madigan and Chicago Mayor Richard Daley. Ricky Hendon of Chicago, Jones' most faithful lieutenant in recent years. Terry Link, a Waukegan resident who chairs the Senate Democrats' suburban caucus. And rounding out that list is Evanston resident Jeff Schoenberg, who has spoken out frequently on ethics and civil rights issues. One area high school says it can put off a state-mandated restructuring for at least a year after some reassuring news. The Urbana School District says its high school students reached the so-called adequate yearly progress level last year in standardized tests. That means Urbana High School is keeping up with increasing requirements under the federal No Child Left Behind Act. Principal Laura Taylor says it also means the high school won't have to restructure its curriculum and organization. But she says these changes will go into effect anyway because they're good for students.
Our students are going to have interesting flexible scheduling next year where they can meet with teachers that are certified in the areas of need every given day, and we're going to do that. That's what we need to do to make them successful, and we'll keep doing that whether or not, even though, you know, we don't have to restructure technically this year.
Results from tests for younger students have been delayed by calculating errors on the state level. Champaign Unit 4 has not released its high school results yet. The president of Bradley University says she is opposed to the idea of lowering the drinking age from 21 to 18 years old as proposed by the Amethyst Initiative. The presidents of Duke, Dartmouth, and Ohio State have called on lawmakers to consider lowering the drinking age. They say current laws actually encourage dangerous binge drinking on campus. But Bradley president Joanne Glassner says based on the alcohol-related deaths of two Bradley students, universities promote activities that reduce the misuse and abuse of alcohol. Last March, Bradley Jr. Robert Hurt Pontiac was killed after falling into oncoming traffic while horsing around with a friend. Witnesses say both had been drinking. And in August 2007, Bradley soccer player Sheridan Dahlquist was killed in a house fire caused by a prank by four friends who had been drinking. Federal officials have approved more than $13.6 million in federal disaster assistance grants for those affected by severe flooding in Illinois in June and July. The Federal Emergency Management Agency announced funds for Illinois residents and small businesses on Monday. Most of the money has been approved for temporary rental housing, home repairs, and replacement for Illinois residents. The rest of the money, in the form of loans, will be used by businesses. FEMA says 3,095 homeowners and renters from 18 counties declared federal disaster areas have applied for assistance. The deadline to register for federal assistance, August 25th. The city of Chicago's estimate of the number of people that attended its annual air and water show over the weekend may invite a little skepticism. City organizers say 3.1 million people viewed the three-day show. In past years, the show was represented on Saturday and Sunday, an average 2 million people. According to Cindy Getzolis of the Mayor's Office of Special Events, the numbers for the air show was reached with aerial photographs coupled with police formulas for how many people can fit into known areas. That number was adjusted to account for attendees who refresh the crowd as others trickle home. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 7:30 with headlines at 7:06. I'm Jeff Bossert.
This morning's weather forecast is made possible with support from your locally owned Central Illinois IGA supermarkets, including your Jerry's IGA stores on Kirby Avenue in Champaign, in Sullivan, and Maggio's IGA in Tolono. Hometown proud and encouraging you to join them in supporting public radio.
It's 6:35, and our chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, joins us for another in-depth look at weather now. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Well, a year ago, we were talking about Hurricane Dean.
Were we?
In the Caribbean and Jamaica. Category 4 storm back then, I'm reminded by looking at some notes here.
Well, it's hurricane season. We're right in it.
That's it, and we're talking about Faye now.
Well, Faye is just a tropical storm, though. Faye made landfall already. Yesterday, it appeared that Faye might stay out over the Gulf of Mexico a little longer and make landfall the middle of today. But Faye came inland south of Fort Myers, and so it had less time to strengthen.
All right. So, not going to be a hurricane?